half an hour, and then it got the whole thing, you know, you said you rebooted, and it's been, it came back on no problem. Now, when I noticed the chat box was there, the text box showed up, and it's like, ooh, I wonder what's going to stay this time, and it's been sitting there for about a good half hour. WX2BJF.
Roger that. I wasn't sure, because I know last night you were having issues. All right. I mean, I didn't know if it was resolved. Yeah, I see you were sitting on there, but I figured I'd get it rebooted before the net started anyway and make sure it's working. All right. I'm going to run the net here in about 10 seconds here. KD2AIT. Good evening. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
N2PFM, good evening, Jeff.
WX2PJL, good evening, Jeff.
KA2YDC, good evening, Jeff.
KC2WI, good evening, Jeff.
KC2NVU.
Guys are all trying out my hand speed here on the pen. Okay, we got N2PFM, WX2PJR, KA2YDC, KC2WI, and KC2MBU. Are there any other check-ins? Okay, N2PFM, George, good evening. What's going on tonight?
Well, good evening, Jeff, and everybody else on the net. The temperature here is 16 degrees here on the mountainside. Temperature range today was minus 6 to 23. And mostly sunny today, for which I was very grateful. Made a good amount of electricity here for the solar panels. I got one question. I do not understand why in the world we want to go ahead and link this the Lavo repeater with every other repeater. Now, what's going to happen if, say, a place in central or western New York has a net at the same time that we do? And we're all going to be just like having to take a regular half-hour net, make it like a four-hour net or something, because it's all over. One guy's talking to an alarm machine. He's talking over almost half of New York State or something. I mean, I just don't get how this is going to work. It just seems ludicrous to me in a way that we're just going to be having every repeater running all the time with everybody and everything, and so it's going to be so overcrowded, I think, that no one's going to get through anymore. At least that's my opinion from what I've seen so far. Maybe I need a little clarification, but it sure seems like almost madness to me, for one thing. All right, I'll say God bless 73. Is on 2PFM clear?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen it done before, so I'll wait until it gets down to Pete there, or somebody, or maybe a Paul, or whoever knows more about it than me, which is pretty much everybody. All right, George. Well, thanks for checking in, and I want to make another note here that just tonight, right before you signed back in there, Paul, I lowered the buffering settings to their lowest setting here on Echolink to try to reduce the lag as best as we can, as best as I can here, and hope I want to see. Hopefully it's made a difference. So, with that, WX2PJR, Paul, good evening. What's up?
Yeah, good evening, Jeff, and everybody else aboard. WX2PJR, yeah, I just turned up the speakers on the computer here. Still lag, at least a second. Anyways, but you got to think it's going through the internet, going through the router, going bouncing off all sorts of different nodes, and yeah, it slows down just because. Internet being internet based, but and you know the amount of usage on the server, and yeah, it's all fun stuff. But anyways, let's see here. In some ways, George is right with getting all that stuff. You never know with different nets and stuff, but I don't know. See how it works. It could be interesting though. that little test there tonight with this one, the 955 and the 7.6 all linked together. I was kind of going between all three to see which one sounded better. 7.6 sounded good, and this 955 and this one. It was nice to actually be able to hear all three of them. I just flipping through the dial. Yeah, like the morning net there on the rooster roster, we get a lot of echo linkers checking into that, and that runs very smooth and no problem, but it's not linked to anybody. What else? That was IRLP, actually. That was when IRLP was all nice and happy. That's when I was doing it. Never did the whole node thing through EchoLink before, so with the IRLP, you just punched in the nodes and you were connected to whoever. Like, yeah, I was talking to guys in England and wherever. That was kind of fun, but that was back in the day. Anyway, other than that, not too much else here to add, I guess, so pass it back to you, WX2PJR.
Piece of keys, there was about, you know, a second and a half to 2 second wait there before somebody would respond, so I don't know, it said on the meter that it should be, the lag time should be half a second. Now, I don't know if that's a, that could be, you know, between the two stations, that could total to, you know, a complete second, but we'll see how it works. Thanks for checking in there, Paul, and I kind of like the idea of linking the repeaters there, you know, through the hard link. I don't know, I guess I got the same concern as George, but maybe if it was a rotating link, you know, where each day was like a different station. I don't know if that's probably not even possible, but I don't know. I have no opinion either way. I'd like to see it happen and then make an opinion. Okay, thanks for checking in, and we'll catch up with you later. I believe the call is K2YDC, I looked it up here while I was listening, and I believe that's Cedric. What's going on?
Oh, I've gone by Cedric since high school. Hello, here is Charlie there. I go by middle name. And we're up here in a big town of Pine, up near Starlight. So, repeater sounds good tonight. And I don't know, just trying to get back to the habit of checking in the nets. I used to check into all of them there at one time, and man, got away from it there, so I'm trying to get back into the swing of things there. So not much going on up here in the town of Pine. A little bit of snow on the ground, probably, I don't know, 2 inches there, something like that. Nothing like Will and Julie. My God, they said two feet or something like that. Wow. Yep. No, I don't. I like to see a little bit of snow around Christmas, and then after that, it can go. This is KA2YDC. Everybody have a good evening. Back to that.
Okay, Charlie, sorry about that. I just punched it up online here, so that's what they have in the database. So sorry about that. Well, thank you for checking in, and welcome back. We're here every night, 9 o'clock. Come on back. All right, that was a KC2WA. Pete, good evening. What's your opinion on the whole linking thing?
I think you got to be really careful about what you link and on how much you link. The discussion with the you know, our links here in Lowville repeater, we have two channels, and they're programmed to Old Forge and to Remsen, and we definitely do not want to have the link to the 145.33 on this repeater all the time, because A, we would be doing on the Black River Valley Club repeater, because for one thing, when we did our net, you know, it would be heard in Cortland, and who cares, and vice versa. But, you know, if you're sitting here during the daytime and you put your call out on the repeater and you don't hear anybody, it's because there's only five people in the area, you know, and maybe 10, maybe, you know. Most of the time, whenever I put my call out on either Boonville or Blauville, nobody comes back to me. So, they're very quiet repeaters. Old Forge had a flurry of activity in the summer when it first went up and all, but, you know, there's not a lot of hands in Old Forge, and even though it has good coverage, there's not a lot of people listening. So a link between Lowville and Old Forge, you know, kind of sort of left on as a default, that's not a bad deal, because now you got 20 hams listening instead of 10. And I don't know about Will's, because I can't, you know, I never think to echo link into it and listen. I'm not sure it's all that active most of the time. But a link to Dexter makes some kind of sense, because you know, a lot of people drive from here to Watertown and up there, and this repeater's pretty good now, but it's not perfect, you know, and there's places where you can't get it, or like if you drive over the Tug Hill, you get up to Barnes Corners, go down the other side, and that you don't get this anymore. But if you could then switch over to Will's and, you know, still link back to here and be talking to somebody, that'd be kind of nice. So those three kind of make sense. The same thing with Fine, if, you know, the concern there is that it's solar powered, so you really don't want to be keying it up too much. But, you know, that's a real quiet repeater, too, most of the time. I'm sure Charlie will agree with that. And the same thing with Speculator is, you know, there's 10, 15 hams there, but active hams and listening all the time, 95%, 98% of the time whenever. Either. But that's the philosophy, and the links are all controllable, at one end or the other, so you know, you can turn them off. So if it would make sense that I think that what would make sense is that the link from any repeater out to whatever other repeater could be turned off. In other words, if we link to Old Forge, then we can turn off the link to Old Forge. So if we decide that we're going to do some, you know, the Riverfest or something, we would turn the link off so that we're not keying up any other repeater, and we might still be keying up Will, but Will would say, oh, we don't want to listen to that, and he'd turn his link to here off, and then we're all set. So that's the way it would work. And I don't really see a problem. I would see a problem if we had, like, a permanent link to the 145.33, which is linked to the 00, which is linked to the whatever it is in Auburn. And we couldn't, you know, but if we can turn that off and on as we please, then there's not a problem. And the same thing if we had a, you know, if we had a permanent link to the Boonville repeater, you know, let's face it, how much time do you ever hear anybody? We got the net at 8, the net at 9, somebody passing through once in a while, whatever the net is there, the traffic net, they come in and ask for a couple check-ins, but whether that's coming in through Boonville or Boonville and Lowville isn't going to make a whole heck of a lot of difference as far as tying up repeaters. So that's my philosophy on the linking. It would kind of be a neat thing, but it's all controllable. KC2WI.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see. I'm interested. I'd like to see how it works. We'll see. I mean, if it gets unmanageable, at least it's something that can be it can be handled. All right. Thanks, Pete. We'll catch you later. KC2MBU. Ray, good evening. What's up?
Well, we've got 18 degrees up on the hill here, and everything's quiet. I did my DMV run today, and auction in Buffalo, and about ready to call it a day. I thought the links were tone signaled. You could turn them on and off remotely, so that if you needed to link your repeater to another repeater, that you could do it remotely, and when you're done, unlink it, that was my understanding.
Go ahead, Pete. Well, it depends on where the link radio is. So, let's say here now in Lowville, we have a link radio, and it happens to be a two-channel, you know, two-memory radio, and we have it programmed for whatever we have it programmed for, repeaters, and so we can control the link that we are making from our repeater to wherever it goes and turn it off and on. But the other end, that could be a problem, is that the guys on the other end, if we have it on, they can't, you know, they might not be able, well, I don't know, if they have the control code, well, I don't know what happens there. We just went through that with passing DTMF tones or not. But theoretically, as long as the control codes were different for each one, if you, you know, let's say we got a code of 01 that turns on and off our link radio, and let's say Boonville has a link radio and their code is 02, and our controller doesn't know what 02 is, it'll ignore it. If we let the DTMF pass through, however, you know, the other repeater controller will hear that and do whatever it needs to do. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's issues there with control, but, you know, if everybody's cooperating, I don't really see it as a problem. You know, I mean, if you know, you can't, unless we do a DTMF pass-through, and then the problem is that everybody in the system hears these tones. But again, how many people are there on these repeaters? It's not like the good old days when you had hundreds of people on the repeater all the time, and there just isn't that many PAMs in the whole North Country to, I don't think, to be a problem. That's the thing. But, yeah, if you have the repeater, the link radio hooked to your controller, then you can turn it off and on. If it's linked to the other guys, you know, if they're linked to you, you might have to call them up or get somebody else on the air and say, hey, would you turn that off?
Yeah, that's what I thought. As long as you knew what the code was, that you'd be able to, and any ham radio operator would be able to turn the link radio on and off.
Roger, that's the way I understand it, too. Well, we'll have to see. Now that you guys got it all fired up there, we can see it in action. All right, this is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet, looking for check-ins.
N2OIQ.
WV2RUQ.
Okay, we'll start with N2OIQ. Dan, good evening. What's going on tonight?
Eric, good evening, Jeff. Glad to be able to tell you that this evening. N2OIQ here. Yeah, not too much. Just listening to radio here and all the what's going on with the repeaters and stuff. So that's kind of interesting for sure. And anyway, let's get them all linked up. That'd be cool. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, so we got like 20 degrees here at the present time, and then I'm thinking of doing that outside to just. Just on the cool side, that's about it. But I guess we got a storm or something coming here in a couple of days. I don't know how that's going to pan out, but time will tell. And just hope for good weather, I guess. So, okay, that's it from here. Jeff, have a good evening. Talk to you later. And to YQ.
Okay, well, hopefully there won't be too much of a storm there, and hopefully we see you here tomorrow. I believe it's your night there tomorrow, and barring anything coming up, right? That's the way that works. I know that's the way it works for me. All right, we'll catch up with you later. WB2RUQ there, my dad, John. Good evening. What's going on?
KD2AIT, WB2RUQ here. Ah, it's good to hear Dan's voice. He and I used to work together years ago. He's a good guy. Here in Hudson Valley, we're currently, at least in Modena, we're 29 degrees. Fairly nice day out. We've just had some clouded up this afternoon, dusting of snow, I'm hoping it stays at Dustin because I got a early morning breakfast meeting I have to go to. That's about it. There's nothing, no traffic to pass, and everything's pretty quiet here. And I'll pass it back to you. It's WB2RUQ.
Okay. Yeah, Dan told me some stories of you guys there working up there. I believe it was a craft there. And you got in trouble, what was it, with one of those, what do they call them there, where they boil the milk, I don't know, whatever that is. I guess it got a little out of control one day, and it wasn't a good thing. All right, the pasteurizers, that's what they call them. Anyway, thanks for checking in, and we'll catch up with you later. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins.
Into a like your recheck.
Go ahead, Dan.
I'll talk to John just for a second.
Go ahead.
Hey John, I was telling your son Jeff about the time they're in the pasteurizer room where you and me were, you were out there and I was in your facility, and we both went out of the room and the mix plate blew up. You remember that? All that? We come back and the mix is all over everything.
Ah, great, Dan. You bring up some bad memories. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, what a mess. That blue thing blew like it had holes in the side of it. Yeah, I remember. WB2RUQ.
The boss says, whatever you do, one of you stay here all the time, but that particular day, for some reason, whether you woke him up missing, and meantime, the plate blew up. Oh, my gosh. Okay, very good. Thanks, Jeff, and to like you.
Roger, no problem. All right, this is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins. Well, as for myself, it was another working day, and a lot of stuff going on at work, and it was a busy day, and got a lot done, and got to repeat it all over again tomorrow, so that's about it here. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Okay, hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley Service Net and return this frequency to regular amateur use. I'd like to thank, George, Paul, Charlie, Pete, Ray, Dan, and John for checking in tonight. The nets are getting busier and busier as time goes by. That's a good thing. I'd like to say 73s to everyone else who is listening in. This is KD2AIT. Clear.
KD2AIT, KC2WI.
This is KD2AIT.
It's too bad we're not closer, and even if we weren't closer, line of sight. You know what I'd really like to try is, since we're hams, you know, we got 2.4 gigahertz band, which is, you know, Wi-Fi. But we don't have to live with the Wi-Fi power limits. And a lot of guys are, basically modifying wireless, access points, and the links, some of the links, this ones they use as DDRT, whatever. And then you make or buy gain antennas, and more or less high speed data on ham radio over long distances. That we ought to figure out how we could play with that somehow.
Well, my question about that is, isn't the rule there that you're not allowed to transmit anything that's, encrypted in any kind of way, right? It all has to be viewable by the public. Does that fall? I mean, is that the same restriction there? I would imagine it is up there in the frequency.
It's not a secret code. It's just like, people don't do it, we don't do it anyway, although I think we should get back into that. This is another thing's right up your alley is packet, and the new packet FlexNet, which we at one time had set up on the number 3 road and links to different places and all that, and maybe one more thing to do, but No, that's AX25 protocol, or, you know, PSK31, or any of those things. It's all, if you have the right, you know, if you know what you're doing and you got the right, you know, basically a computer now, you can decode any of that stuff. It's the same with, it's the same with 802.11. I would say that maybe, I don't know the technicalities, but let's just say if it, as long as it was an open system, right, you didn't use a WPA or whatever on it, well, hey, anybody can listen to those packets.
Well, you wouldn't be able to use any kind of SSL, like, you know, going to your secure socket layer there, HTTPS. You'd have to restrict. You'd have to restrict that, because that's encrypted on each end and not in the middle. So nobody'd be able to decipher what's being transmitted, except either end of the party.
Yeah, technically right. But as long as you're sending, you know, let's say the first thing is if you have an open, you know, no encryption access point, then it's not secure because people can read all the packets. If the data you're sending has been itself has been encrypted, like SSL or something, then it's relatively secure anyway. But if you're, you know, if you're sending text or digital, you know, a file, I'm going to send you this, you know, this JPEG or whatever, that's all, you know, public known stuff. So that, I think there's no problem there. And, you know, as a practical matter, who's going to know? You know, if you were in the big city somewhere and I had a whole pile of people doing that, and they'd say, hey, wait a minute, you're sending stuff that's encrypted, and they blow you into the FCC, I guess, you know. But if you just, you know, if you just have a no Wi-Fi encryption of any sort, and you're not, you know, you're just sending it back and forth between your computers, then you wouldn't be doing SSL and that kind of stuff. And as a practical matter, you know, it's pretty secure, especially around here. Who's going to be trying to hack into your ham radio thing if they even know that it exists? So, yeah, you'd have to read up on the details of, you know, technically what's allowed and what's not allowed, but people are doing it. And the ID requirement is you just make, you just use, I guess, the SSID, you put your call sign in there or something. I don't know. That's what I read. But it would be a lot of fun to try that.
Comment? Go ahead. And both for the commercial. Anyways, what was it? The Wi-Fi thing. What was it? A couple of years ago, I saw it in QST magazine here. Some group in, I think it was Las Vegas or Nevada somewhere, did almost 200 miles. Amateur radio group did 200 miles unencrypted Wi-Fi. It was, I guess, still the world's record, as far as I know. But, I mean, they didn't have anything against it, as long as it wasn't, you know, as Pete was saying, as long as it's kind of an open source thing and it's known and you have the equipment and the software or whatever to pick it up, you're good to go. Kind of like doing, what was it here, a couple years ago, did slow scan TV on one of the repeaters on the 955, and it sounds kind of encrypted, but you got the software. There you go. WXDPJ.
Roger, I don't think there's a problem with the types of files or even the types of data. Just that when you're transmitting, like you say, you wouldn't want people, for example, you know, getting your email on there through the, you know, I mean, they could if they wanted to, but I mean, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that legally at all. It would have to be an open system. But say if you were maybe logging into, say, your Amazon account through it, that would be going over, you know, an an SSL encrypted layer. So basically your browser, your system is encrypting all the information and sending it over the airwaves to the other end, which then, you know, has the key to decrypt it. Nobody else in the middle can find out. That's when it, that's when you get run into trouble. So you'd have to restrict it to not allow any SSL, which wouldn't be too difficult. You just basically, you would restrict the ports. You wouldn't allow port 443, and there would have to be some sort of, you know, notice that you'd have to have a restriction on that. But yeah, you could easily do it, and that is just the only thing, you know. And you couldn't. There's also the, you know, there's another slippery part of that is you're not supposed to do anything commercial on the airwaves, which is well, how far do you read into that? If I go into you know, if I check my email over the air and it has to do with work or something, is that a commercial? You know, is that a commercial transmission there?
Technically, it might be, but basically, the ruling has been when we used to do auto patches, you can actually call or dial a pizza place and order a pizza because you're not conducting your business. You know, the pizza place can't have a radio and take orders, but, you know, and then it's, so a lot of then that discussion is not all that relevant now because everybody's got cell phones, but I know that they said, well, it's a little bit wider, certain things which you might not think are legal are, because you're not getting paid, you're not really conducting business, so to speak. I don't know. I mean, what a lot of the guys are doing, and you know, they're not even connected to the internet. It's just your own local network, you know, basically. So in that case, you wouldn't be nothing to worry about. But I don't see why you. I mean, you could do an inter connection and have it as a LAN and with a gateway, you know, a router, whatever, out to the internet. But I just think the local, you know, sort of a local network and a data network, and you could see where, like, in an emergency situation where you wanted to say, well, you wanted to do email, you know, it's between the EOC and here and there, and you wanted to send, you know, something that you're not going to copy by hand in a messenger that would take you forever to send with a, you know, 2400 baud packet. You would just do it, and actually everybody could be using their computers and their web browsers and their email clients if you had all the appropriate things on your local network to do that with. And they're doing that in some places. And by the way, Paul, that's they call that the shootout in the desert. And I've read those things too about the distances. It's amazing. The other thing that I've, here's the thing that the only problem you might get into here is the unsecuredness of it, but, and it maybe it's doable just with, if you've got the right distance, doing it with just commercial, you know, long-range wireless. Here, we got a phone line at the repeater, the sheriff does, and at one time we had a phone patch that we had restricted. I won't go into any details on the air, but, you know, everybody's got cell phones, but we're out in the boonies, and they don't work everywhere. And even worse is up in Speculator, up in Lake Pleasant area. There's a cell tower on top of Oak Mountain, and if you're, you know, you're not too far away, you can get into it. But if you're out in the Perkins Clearing or basically west of old Paseco School, then you lose it. So. For me, the thing is, I'm out snowmobiling somewhere, you know, 10, 20 miles back in the woods. I can hit the repeater, no problem, but there's nobody there. So that's an advantage of linking right there, is you've got linked two or three repeaters. Somebody's going to hear you somewhere. But the other thing would be, there's where the auto patch would still come in real handy, because you can bring that auto patch up and, you know, phone home or phone the sheriff or whatever you need to do. The problem is, we don't have a phone line on the top of Oak Mountain. So I thought that I wonder if there's a way to do that, you know, with a digital VoIP you know, digital link from the repeater site down to somebody who's got, you know, just a high-speed internet connection. You could use Skype or, you know, whatever. And I'd love to figure out how to make that work.
What would stop us from having a Wi-Fi repeater for just a local area network on any of the repeater towers? Because you could set it up to where all you need to do is be a link machine, so it doesn't, that Wi-Fi repeater up on any tower doesn't have to be connected to the internet or anything. Only one machine on the network has to, you know, and you could designate one machine on a network to, you know, accept email messages or, you know, have some sort of service on there where you could connect and say, you know, you could have it send text messages to somebody or anything. There's a lot of things you could do. I don't think there's any, I don't think it would cause any interference to anything on a 2 meter, but maybe, I don't know. I think you could do that easily enough, and then you could, you're not restricted from just two stations by the site. You could have that network go this pretty much, well, I guess, the same distance as within, you know, within reason of the 2 meter.
Well, you got the ATRS. The ATRS on my VX8 here, and I can actually, with the VX8, it's got a modem built into it, and I can go into the APRS node, bring up a chat box on the VX8, and actually text somebody that's on APRS, and they will text back. That's kind of a neat little feature too on that, but that's kind of a packet sort of thing. It's a little different, but kind of in the same route though, WX2PJR.
Well, I'm thinking if you have a, like what Pete's talking about there on the 2.4 gigahertz there, you would only need to have basically an access point with a, you know, with a little bit more power up on a, you know, have an antenna up on a tower somewhere and whatever repeater. In fact, you can link repeaters like you're doing with the radio. You can link them through the access points. And only somewhere on that line does anybody have to actually connect to the internet anywhere. And that would be your main gateway. And from there, you could filter out what you don't want to send. You know, you say, listen, we're not going to do any SSL here or whatever. It's definitely doable. Even from there, you could connect. And you say, like, yeah, I understand what you're saying with the APRS. But let's say you're out, say Pete's out there in a snowmobile somewhere, and he comes along, somebody's hurt, and he can't get cell phone service. You know, he could, you know, with his smartphone, take a picture of this guy's injury, send it over the Wi-Fi, you know, through the you know, the powerful Wi-Fi, and send a picture back to say, you know, the sheriff's department, say, this is where we are, this is the injury we got here, what do we do, you know, whatever. You could send, you know, broadband, you know, high-capacity data across that network. It would be pretty interesting to try.
Well, except for the fact that probably the smartphone, you know, isn't going to hear that Wi-Fi if you're too far away from it. You know what I'm saying? If you've got directional antennas and somewhat high power, then you can make that link in a network. But your smartphone probably is not going to hear. You know, it probably won't have enough sensitivity to connect to it. But yeah, you could do that. Of course, you got to have a smartphone, which I don't have, but. To me, the simplest, most versatile thing that doesn't require the end user to have anything is an auto. All they need is a handheld, you know, or whatever with the DTMF. And if you have an auto patch, then you know you just key the auto patch code, bring the patch up, dial a number, and that's it. And what we did in Louisville years ago is we had a patch, and to prevent anybody making long-distance calls or anything, we had this thing, and it was before I was, I don't know who set this up, and it hasn't worked in years, but we had it so that you would dial a code.
KB2K again.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to break in your conversation there. Can I do a call up here for that time?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to break in your QSO there, so I won't be long. This is KB2KOJ for Akon. We are holding traffic for KA2VLA. So, Clint, if you happen to be listening, we do have traffic for you. And the stations for Akon, come now, please.
KD2AIT, no traffic.
KC2WI, no traffic. Well, Jeff, there you go. You can transcribe your first message and give it to Clint.
WX2PJR, no traffic.
Sure, I'll take it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay, what do you got? Now is who we got there. I have KD2AIT, Jeff, KC2WI, and let me see if I have this last one. Whiskey X-ray 2 Papa Juliet Romeo, is that correct?
Roger, and the name is Paul.
Okay, Paul, I believe you checked in with me before, but anyways, welcome to Akon. Okay, are there any other stations for Akon looking for KA2VLA?
KC2WI, can I make a comment?
Sure, go ahead.
Jeff, if you haven't looked at the radiogram form and you're in front of the computer, just, I don't know, you could probably just Google it, ARRL radiogram, and a form will come up. Maybe you could just print one out real quick, and then when he rattles the thing off to you, you'll kind of, it's pretty obvious once you see the form. So maybe you want to give him a minute to get the form if he's never seen it. Over.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't use the form. I've been able to draft it for years. I don't even know the form, but I know there is a form. So yeah, he hasn't checked in with us in a long time. I knew he was not doing so well, but anybody over here, how he's doing? Clint, how he's been doing?
Roger, he's my great uncle there. He's got a little flu bug. He's been battling here the last few days, but otherwise he's doing all right.
Yeah, if you could, actually give him a call and ask him if he could come in somebody here between 9:30 and 10.
Yeah, I can give him a call here tomorrow, put it here on my to-do list, and send it over to him.
Okay, alrighty. What's your call, KC2WI?
KD2AIT.
Oh, okay, Jeff. Okay, yeah, Jeff, if you would, yeah, give him a call. If not, I can deliver the traffic to him. I don't think his birthday is until the 8th, so... But if he isn't able to come in, that's fine too. I can deliver. I'll deliver him to him. I think I did last year anyway. So
sure, however you want to do it. Yeah, his birthday is coming up. It'll be big 8-9.
Yep. If he would like to come in, that's fine. We'd love to have him. I haven't talked to him since last fall last summer. See, we don't do the call up here at 6:30 anymore because. We discontinued the late actor, the early Akon, so we just do it at 9:30, and we wanted to keep the, you know, the relationship with you folks up there in the Boonville area, so we still do it at 9:30 at night here now.
Roger that. Well, I'll give him a call tomorrow if he's, you know, tell him to see if he can come in for the Akon and get his message.
Okay, that'd be good. All right. Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. And I won't hold up the frequency. I'll let you guys carry on. And let me just make one more call. Are there any other stations like to check in back then?
before I go back to that frequency. Okay, nothing else there, and thanks a lot for letting me break in there. I do appreciate it. Jeff and Paul and KC2WI, thanks a lot for letting me break in, and I don't know who will take it, but I'll sign out of here and let you folks carry on. Thanks again for the use of the frequency. KB2KOJ is clear.
Roger, on that Pete there, yeah, I didn't mean that they would use their smartphone to connect to the Wi-Fi up in the tower. You would have to have another transmitter with you, but it would act as a, you know, it would also use its Wi-Fi to connect through your smartphone. So your smartphone would connect to your device, and your device with the power, you know, and the antenna could connect to the Wi-Fi on the repeater.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's lots of possibilities. I really liked that system that we had because it, you know, you never had the problem of somebody making a long distance phone call on the auto patch. Although, you know, around here, I mean, we all know each other, and no, people wouldn't abuse it like that. But see, my thought was somehow if you had up at the repeater site, if you had a computer and the appropriate software and hardware, basically like echoing in a way, because what you're going to do is you're going to take the repeater's audio and send it in a digital or an analog form, you know, to some place where there is either a hardwired telephone connection or an internet connection where you would use something like Skype, you know. The only limitation of Skype is you got to pay for it if you want to make, I don't use Skype, but, you know, as far as I know, that's the money-making gimmick. You pay for it if you want to make phone calls to real telephones. But, you know, some application, and I don't know, maybe there is an application and a hardware interface that would allow the computer to pretend it's a telephone, you know, hooked to a regular telephone line, which is basically what a modem does, you know, a telephone modem does. It takes ones and zeros and makes them into tones. Seems like this would be more like it'd be a combination sound card and modem interface, because it would have to do the, you know, make it appear that, you know, somebody picked up the phone and get the dial tone and dial the numbers and all that stuff. But I'm sure all that could be done, and it seems to me that the easiest, you know, maybe there's got to be both the audio, you know, the telephone audio, and there's got to be the control signals of some sort. And if we could figure that out, that would be just a super thing. I'd love to do that up on the speculator repeater for safety purposes. It'd be used once in a blue moon, but boy, if you're really out there, there's, you know, it could be really nice to do that. And the nice thing about it is, you know, the people that are out there, all they need is the radio with a touch tone, and, you know, just like good old-fashioned auto patches.
Well, what you could do, you could have something, you could create a tool to link into Echolink, and if Echolink's connected to the repeater, you could have it, so you have the machine connected to Echolink and to the internet through its, you know, Cat5 cable there through the Ethernet on the back, and then you also have a modem on that computer, and you'd have to have another application that could dial the modem and take the audio that's coming in through Echolink and patch it through the audio through the modem. That you could do, because the Echolink can receive tones, DTMF tones, so you could do that and dial through. The hardest part is you'd have to write the software to connect the modem, you know, and make the modem dial out and, you know, patch the sound between the two, but most of them, you know, that code's probably out there available for free on the internet to do it.
Yeah, there's, here's the thing. And the part of the problem would be, okay, let's say at the repeater end, you know, you'd have to either have functionality in the controller or you'd have to rewrite the controller code or do something. But, you know, let's say with a good old-fashioned auto patch, all that does is just like the controller does anything else. You put in whatever the code is, and it brings up the auto patch. And then what happens is, basically, all the auto patch does is connect the you know, the repeater's you know, audio in and out to the phone line through a you know, the coupler. So it's basically like a speakerphone, let's say, you know, a phone. And so basically, the controller tells the auto patch, you know, go off hook and you get the dial tone, and so you put in the control code, you unkey, now you listen to the repeater and you hear telephone dial tone, and you key, you know, da da da, whatever the number is, and you know, the phone line doesn't know any difference, it's just hearing DTMF tones and it dials a number, and you know, it rings and the person answers, and then the only difference between it and the real phone is it's not full duplex. It's, you know, you talk and they listen, and you have control. So people have to understand that, which, you know, in the old days people did. But the first thing you do is you say, this is an ham radio operator, and I'm using an auto patch, and this is, and, you know, when I'm talking, I can't hear you because I'm going through the radio. And so the person on the other end, and especially, you know, if it's somebody that you know that you'd explain this to ahead of time, or maybe somebody in the sheriff's office because they know about radios, you know, talking on radios, then you'd have your conversation, and then when you're done, the other person hangs up, you know, and then you can you punch another code and it just drops the auto patch, and that's it. So the only thing that relies on is that you have an actual phone line up at, you know, connected to your repeater. And that's really the problem, is that, you know, where this repeater and the speculator repeater and, you know, so on and so forth, there isn't a phone line for a mile. And even if there was the availability to get one, you've got to pay for it. So that's, you know, two problems. I'm thinking a way around that is that you'd have to have another device or another function in your controller that would, and you know, basically an A to D and a D to A converter, i.e. sound card, and you'd have the sound card on the computer hooked into the repeater, just the way you do for Echolink or whatever, but directly into the repeater radio. So now that's how you get the both the deep. Correct. That's true. That you could do that. We've got all the functionality already in Echolink, except the connection to a telephone line. And so, right, if you could, the only thing you need is you need a code which you could probably program in. In other words, when the computer, the Echolink, whatever, hears, you know, *78 or something, it says, oh, activate the auto patch, takes the phone line off hook, and passes the audio to it, just like it's, you know, it passes the audio to it, and then you do the dialing, and you do whatever, and then when you're done, you hit the pound key, and it brings the thing down, and you're done. You just use a regular phone line, and probably you could have the computer listening to the tones that get sent, And if you dial anything that then 942, it shuts it down. You know, if the first three numbers aren't, you know, the local exchange, it just says, sorry, no can do, and disables the thing, and that way you eliminate any possibility of somebody using the phone line and making a long-distance call if you're worried about that.
Roger, the only thing you'd have to worry about is because you wouldn't be in a full duplex. You know, you wouldn't be the way you have it now where, you know, I talk, the repeater listens, and then it broadcasts on a different frequency. You understand what I mean? So it would have to be, it would transmit over, Echolink would only transmit if it heard somebody talking on the phone and with its normal timeout parameters. And then if nobody was talking on the phone, then it wouldn't transmit. You'd have to have a higher... Yeah, it could definitely be done. I mean... You'd have to have one of those modems that can patch to the sound card. It used to be, I know years ago, you used to have that cable that would cross over to it. I don't know if that's still necessary anymore. It's been a long time since I've done anything with a modem. But, yeah, I think that could be easily done, and you don't